Sorry, Northwest London, Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Dalet Eor, the 16th of April, Harav Mordechai Weiss, Parshas, Tazria Matsoya.
Good morning, everyone. As usual, I'd like to start off first of all with to thank the organizers, Rabdudi and all the other organizers, for giving me the honor and the opportunity to be part of it. As I said, I don't know if you look forward to this thing, but I very much look forward to have this opportunity to talk to you whenever I do. So for me, it's a privilege and an honor. I should take care of everyone who's involved, should take a bezeichah to everything that they need, and all the other mishtatfim to bezeichah to everything they need. This week, Parashas Tazria Metzoyru, start off first with one or two ha'uris. We find in Parashas Metzoyru a very interesting phenomenon, which is something that has to be addressed, and that is that when the Metzoyru, after he goes through the teras and the time frame is to become tuhoir, then he brings a very interesting korban. The Torah tells him to bring a very interesting korban which we don't find anywhere else. He brings two birds, two live birds. They take one of them, they shecht it. They shecht one of them and they put the blood into a klicheres. Then they come along, they bring another tzipoir, the second tzipoir which is still alive. And basically they dip it into the blood of the first one together with the eizoy, which it lasts, wherever it is, and then they throw it over the metzora, and then they send the live bird, they send them away al pnei asude. It's a very, very unusual to find a korban that you don't shecht. Usually all other kabunas, you bring a korban and you shecht it for a korban. Here all of a sudden, you bring a bird, you don't shecht it, all you do is you dip it into the blood and then you send it packing. What's the purpose in bringing him if you send him packing afterwards? What's the avada? There has to be something which there has to be some lesson. And again, obviously the Torah is not something which is just once upon a time, it's something that we have to learn something from it. There's some lesson, some life lesson that we could take out of this thing. What is the message here in this whole story that we could take something out of it? And again, also this interesting thing of taking the live bird, dipping it into the blood. What is this coming to tell us? We are now in the days of the Sfira, of the Sfira Soeme, which you all know are days of Avelus and days of basically mourning. And that's for we all know, the 24,000 Talmidim of Reb Akiva, who were each one in their own right, were great tzaddikim. And a plague came along, and they were all killed in a very short period of time. 24,000 Talmidim. That's something we cannot even begin to imagine what that means. Here, the last year, we went through a very difficult year with the coronavirus. And unfortunately, there were many, many tragedies. But nothing, you can't compare that to 24,000 of not just the simple Eden. 24,000 of the best of the best of the biggest, greatest Talmidei Chachamim. Each one in their own right was new Kol HaTorah Kileh. And 24,000 of them in a very short period of time is something which is an unimaginable tragedy. Chazal HaKadoshim tell us the reason why that happened was because shalenuagi kovod zebuze, they did not respect each other, which is something which I never really understood. It's one thing if it would have said that they hurt one another, they teased one another, and then I can understand, you're hurting someone else, so physically or emotionally, you're hurting someone else, then okay, you deserve to get punished. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say anywhere that they did not, that they hurt someone else. Physically or emotionally. All it says is they did not respect one another, which means they didn't give them the respect that they felt they deserved. Is that a good enough reason to kill 24,000 of the best of Klal Yisrael, the biggest, greatest Talmidei Chachamim of the Dor, to kill them in a shorter period of time for one thing, for not respecting the friend the way they should have respected them? I think that's something which has to be addressed. So I'd like to bring Ovester of Nusen, which is a very, very powerful thing. And I think the lesson that comes out of this thing is something which we could all take something out of it. Ovester of Nusen says the following thing. Now, again, I'm not going to say it exactly the way he says it, but I'm going to just bring it out in just more of a, you know, of a down-to-earth mushul. There were two people who, after they lived the 120 years, they both came up together to the Olam Huemes. All right. So after they finished the time, so now is the time of reward. Chazal HaKadoshim say, Hayom La'asoyisam, Yimuchal Lekabeschuram. This world, people do the mitzvahs, Amasam Toivim. Comes to the next world, it's time for them to get their reward. Both of them come along together. They come to the desk where they come to pick up the wage. Yeah, time for them to get the wage. They worked hard. They're going to deserve the wage. One of them was a multimillionaire. He was a tremendous, tremendous Baal Tzedukah. He gave millions upon millions of pounds for Tzedukah. Every single day, he had 12 hours, from 12 to 12. 12 hours non-stop, kept on giving Tzedukah, and more Tzedukah, and more Tzedukah, to many institutions, to many individuals. He was a tremendous, tremendous Baal Tzedukah. Tzedukah, one of the biggest mitzvahs that could possibly be. Chazal HaKadoshim to say, the Gemara says that Rebbeinu HaKadosh was Mechabed Ashirim. He respected people who were wealthy because they keep up the world. By the tzedukah, they keep up the world, they keep the world running. So he is sure that he's now going to get a very big wage. He's going to get a big check. I don't know what Rebbe is going to get there. He comes to the desk, so they come along and they say, okay, let's check on your records. They type in the computer, I don't know what they have up there. Type in on his thing, open up his page. They look. We don't see any, there's not no records here on your page. There's really no records. I gave tzedukah every single day, 12 hours a day. I gave millions upon millions of pounds of tzedukah. I gave, you know, we'll check again, look again. I'm sorry, there's no records on your page. Okay? There's another person standing next to him. He is also here to pick up his wage. He was a poor person. He didn't have a penny to his name. He had no money whatsoever. They had to send him in 3 times a week money from the, you know, from the Keren HaShabbos. He mamish didn't have a penny to his name. And he comes up and they said, okay, it's his time to pick up his rewards. So they open up his page, they look and think, and comes up pages and pages upon pages of millions upon millions of pounds. So they asked him, wow, he gives so much money. So we see on your records that you kept on giving and giving and giving. So this other person standing next to him says, I'm sorry, there must have been some Russian hacker, must have hacked the computer, must have changed the records of, you know... I was the one that gave millions of pounds of tzedukah every single day, and he didn't give a penny to his name, and there's something is wrong, some mix up. No, listen, we'll check again. Checked again, nothing doing. Look, Obst Rebnusen Azoy. Look, Tamoyi de Gezach. Lelamet. Obst Rebnusen says it. Lelamet. That if you have a person, Shem Nusan Kol Matunas Sheba Oilam. He constantly gave tzedukah. But he gave it Bepunem Zeimois, with a sour face, Keili Loin Nusan Klim. He did not give anything. Whereas, Zukte, if you have a second person who is Mekabel Soman beside the Punim Yofus, even though he hardly gave anything, Ke'ilin Nusan Loi Kol Matunas Toivus Sheba'oilam. That means, take together every type of present a person could possibly give someone else, take every single Afikoyman present that we always got from whenever you were a little child till now, every single present that exists in the world, add it all together. This is what you give someone else with one little thing, by giving him a smile. Now, what does that mean? That's something that has to be explained. There was, in 1943, there was a psychologist, his name was Abraham Maslow. I don't know if he was a Yid or not. Maslow, he was a Yid? He was a Yid. Okay, so he came up with a theory, and it's called Abraham Maslow. Maslow, that was his name, Maslow. In 1943, he came up with the whole theory. Maslow, that was his name. And it's called the hierarchy of needs, which basically it's a pyramid, and he explains that there's 5 basic needs of human being needs, and it goes in the order. So according to him, the first and most important need a person needs is the physical needs. He has to have food, he has to have a home, he has to have where to sleep. That's the minimum thing. The second most important thing according to him is security, financial security, physical security. You feel you live in a secure place, that's the second most important need. The third most important need, according to him, is a feeling of belonging, a feeling of family, a feeling of that you wanted, that you needed. That's the third most important thing. The fourth most important thing is the feeling, the need for respect, for prestige, for, you know, for fulfillment. That's the fourth most important. And the last thing is to fulfill your potential to the fullest. That's the last thing. So he calls it like a pyramid. It's like a shape of a pyramid. So at the bottom you have the physical needs, then you have the security, then you have the feeling of belonging and needing, and then prestige, and the last one is fulfilling your potential. So that's his theory that came up, and obviously he got many different people, some agreed, some didn't agree. In 2005, they decided they're going to make a statistic. They're going to take people from various different countries. So they took for 5 years, from 2005 to 2010, they interviewed 60,865 people from 123 countries over the world. Yeah, again, 60,865 people. They interviewed them to see if they agree to what this Avraham Maslow came up with. Well, they came up as a very interesting thing. Everyone agreed that these five things are important. But the order is wrong. The order, he got it completely wrong. What they came up was that although, obviously, a person needs to have the minimum physical needs in order to survive, you have to have the minimum. But they said, that they noticed is that very often they had people who belonged to tribes and their things, that they had very, very, very little, minimal physical needs. They hardly had any food, they hardly had anything. But they had a tremendous sense of belonging, sense of, they had a communal, they belonged to a community, they were needed, they were wanted, and they were respected by the peers. And they had a very extremely high quality of life. Whereas on the other hand, you had people who had everything they needed physically. They had financial security, they had all the physical needs taken care of. But they were loners, no one cared about them, no one knew about them, and they had a horrible, horrible quality of life. They had no interest in living, they had no quality of life. So they came to the conclusion is that it's not the physical things that you have which is what makes a person's quality of life. The most important thing a person needs in life is a feeling to feel wanted, to feel needed, to feel that he has some self-worth. If a person feels that he's not needed, no one needs him on the world, he hasn't got self-worth, even though he has all the physical needs, it's nothing. It's nothing. And unfortunately, if you look at all the people who unfortunately take their lives, then over 90% of them do it not because of physical pain that they have, but rather because they feel that they're not wanted, they're not needed, they have no self-worth. Since they haven't got self-worth, they feel that there's no purpose in them being alive. This is the oimik of what Uvastar Ibn Rusin is telling us. Uvastar Ibn Rusin is telling us, you give someone tzedukah, you gave him tremendous things, but you gave it with a sour face, you made him feel like a nothing. You make him feel like he's a nothing, he's not worth, he hasn't got any self-worth. You didn't give him anything. Whereas someone else, you gave him 10 pence, you gave him 1 pound, but you gave it with a smile, you gave it with a saivapunim yufas, then you gave him something which is much more than any physical thing. You gave him self-worth. You told him that he's worth something, he's worth your smile, he's worth that you should give him attention. That is something which is the most important need you could give a person, is give him self-worth. How do you give a person self-worth? This is the two main ways to do it. The first thing, obviously, is using the thing of words, the language of words. You tell him, you give him compliments, give him a good word, say thank you so much, you did such a good job, you did such a wonderful job. You give him words, and there's a couple of things to take into consideration when you do that. Number one, there's no expiry date. Everyone and anyone, starting from the smallest person in the world to the most greatest tzaddik in the world, every single person needs to get a compliment. Even though you think that, you know, he doesn't need it because he's already so big and so great, it's not true. Every single person in the world needs a compliment, no matter how big or how small he is. That is number one. Number two, people very often think, I'm going to give this fellow a compliment, it's going to make me small. Yeah, I'm telling him that he is big. So in other words, I'm saying that I'm small. That is not true. Kol ha-mechabed aizi mechibed kol ha-mechabed asabriyas. The more you mechabed other people, the more you give them compliments, you tell them how great they are, how good they are, then the more they will start respecting you. So not only are you not going to lose out, but you're only going to gain. And another thing to remember is that when you give a person a good word, you give him a compliment, you think that you only told it him once. It's true that you only told it him once, but he is going to hear it not once, or not twice, but 100 times. It's going to go over in his head like a broken tape recorder, and it's going to repeat the same sentence. He's going to hear it again and again and again. Whenever he's going to feel down, he's going to remember those words that you told him, the words of chizik that you told him. And obviously it goes both ways, and it goes in the negative also, that if someone chorida says a negative word to someone else, then again, he's going to remember it again and again and again. That's the power of giving a good word to someone else. And the second way how you can give a person respect, which is probably even more important than the first one, is not the language of words, but it's the body language. It's the way when you see someone in the morning, you give him a smile, you give him a good morning with a big smile on his face. You now show them that you are worth a smile. You are worth my respect. You are something. You give a person, you greet him with a schmeichel. You respect him when the person is telling you something. You're not interested to hear what he has to say now. But you give him his respect, you listen to him, and you smile along with him, and you give him the attention that he needs. The simple attention, this is something which is worth more than everything else. The worst thing you could give a person is giving the feeling that he's not worth anything. I was dealing with a case a couple of years ago, and the person, but it's a brochen mensch, a person who went through a lot in his life. And yeah, obviously he went through a lot, and he was very bitter, and he was angry at everyone. Everyone was out against him. He told me very often, he said, the second worst thing that ever happened to him was that he was once embarrassed in front of hundreds of people, embarrassed in public. That was the second worst thing that ever happened to him. He said the worst thing that happened to him was that he once was in a particular shul. He said good morning to someone else and the fellow ignored him as if he did not exist. That bothered him even more than being embarrassed in front of hundreds of people, because the person gave him a feeling that you are not worth my smile. You're not worth me spending 2 words to say hello to you, to say good morning to you. You're not worth it. That was for him the worst thing that ever happened to him. And however important this is when it comes to people that you see and you meet, it's all the more so important when it comes to people who are close to you. When it comes to your family members, it comes to your children, it comes to your spouse, it comes to your colleagues, people who you work with, it comes to your talmidim, people who come in close contact. It's so important to remember these two things, because since they look up to you, you are their role model. So when you're going to say a word to them, when you're going to respect them, it's going to mean so much more to them. So many stories you hear of people who their parents told them even one line, one good word about them, and they remembered it forevermore. They remembered. They remembered the one line that the parents said about them. And that's why it's such an important thing. And even more important is the body language. When you wake up in the morning and your children come downstairs or your wife comes downstairs, you greet them with a good morning. How was it? How did you sleep? Did you sleep well? How was your day? They're coming from school, they're coming from work. How was your day? You give them the feeling that they are worth you spending time with them. They are worth your smile. They are worth your attention. You're giving them something which is worth more than anything else in the world. You're giving them self-worth. There's a story that happened a couple of years ago with a person. He was a teacher in a tzrul in a certain moisid. And he had talmidim, and one of his talmidim was called Ovadia. This Ovadia, he was an Israeli boy. He was an Israeli boy, and like very often, very many of the Israeli families, they went to college, and eventually they went to the army, to the Israeli army. Unfortunately, he never came in one of the wars. He was killed in the war, and this Rebbe, this teacher, went to be Menachem Uvu, the family of this Ovadia. So he comes in, it must have been 15 years later after he taught this child, he came into the family. And the family, as soon as he came in, they asked him, "Are you Mr. So-and-so, the teacher of Ovadia?" So he said, "Yes." So they told him, come with us, I want to show you something. They take him to Ovadia's room. He had his army uniform, and they had his wallet inside. They took out the wallet. Inside the wallet, there was a folded piece of paper. They take out the folded piece of paper, and they give it to the teacher. And they said, "The teacher, do you recognize this folded piece of paper?" Gives one look at it, and he remembered something that happened 15 years earlier. 15 years earlier, he had this class, he was teaching this class of this Ovadia, and he was making a project of a Havas Chavayrim, of how people have to respect one another. So he did the following thing, which is an unbelievable thing, what he did is. He gave each person a piece of paper, and told them, "I want you all to write down something nice about every other classmate." So let's say there were 20 boys in the class, every person had to write Moishi, something nice about Moishi, something nice about Ovadia, something nice about this one, about that one. Every single person wrote something nice that they had to say about each one of the class members. What he did afterwards was something phenomenal. He took all the papers in, and he cut out each child's line, and he sticked it on a piece of paper. So basically, each child had now a piece of paper with 20 lines about the 20 good things that all the other classmates wrote about them. He made a copy. The next morning he came into class. He gave each child a paper with 20 things, nice things about them, that each of the other classmates wrote about them. 15 years later, Fast forward 15 years later, they open up the wallet of the Savadia. Inside was this folded piece of paper that he had received 15 years earlier in class, that he kept it in his wallet wherever he went. When he went to army, he kept it with him at all times. Whenever he fell down, what he did is he took out this piece of paper and he read out again all the 20 things that the other classmates wrote about him. That is what kept him going. It's such an unbelievable thing, how you don't have... These children didn't even think twice. They wrote one line. They didn't think that this is going to accompany this child forevermore. Because the words are something that you could repeat again and again and again. And it's something which could be so useful. There's many, many stories about this thing, how people could change their lives completely just by hearing a good word. I'll mention one more short story. The famous Reb Issa Zalman Meltzer. Reb Issa Zalman Meltzer was a famous Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And he had Talmidim. He was very into giving compliments to his Talmidim. He gave them compliments. In big dosage, someone once asked him, why did he give so many compliments to Talmidim? He said, I'll tell you something. He said, I was a young bocher. I learned in Velazhny Yeshiva. I came from an extremely poor family, and I came to Yeshiva. I came on foot. I had no clothing. My clothing were torn. My shoes were torn. I felt miserable. I came into Yeshiva, and they put me with a roommate called Reb Zelig Re'even Bengis, who turned out to be one of the greatest Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. And he was my roommate. And of course, the first few weeks, it took me a lot of time to get used to it. And especially since I came from such a poor background, I was very, very down. Once I came into the room, Reb Zelig even saw that I was down, and he asked me, Issa Zalman, why are you so down? So he said, I feel that, I'm so down. So he says, do you not know that the Rosh Hashiva repeated a chiddush in your name yesterday in Shia? He repeated the chiddush that you told him in your name? Reb Issa Zalman said, from that day on, everything changed for him. Once he heard Rosh Hashiva repeated something in his name, it gave him so much chizik, he put himself completely into learning, and he turned out to become the great Reb Issa Zalman Meltzer. What one word can do, all he did is he told him, Rosh Hashiva said something in your name, and that changed everything for this boy. There's so many that can go on about this thing for forevermore. But you have to understand one thing. There are a few people that go around in Besmedish, they go around collecting money. There's few. But you have to know there's tens upon tens of people who are walking around with tzedukah pishkas, but they're not interested in you putting money. What they need is a good word. What they need is a smile. They're waiting for your smile. They're waiting for your attention. They're waiting for you to give them the respect. They're waiting for you to give them the self-worth. And those types of tzedukah pishkas are all over the place. Wherever you go, wherever you turn, whether in shul, whether at home, these tzedukah pishkas are all over the place, waiting for you to put your smile into that tzedukah pishka. The Zohar Kodesh is something which is phenomenal, which is frightening. He says that when a Metzora gets punished, we all know why does a Metzora get punished? He gets punished for saying something that he shouldn't have said. Look, the Zohar Kodesh, his resolution. Just like a Metzora gets punished for saying something he shouldn't have said, then equally he gets punished for not saying something that he should have said. It's exactly the same punishment. He says, we bring two tzipurim, you bring two birds. One of them you shecht, and one of them you keep alive. What does the tzipurim do? They metzavtzifim, they keep on talking. The one of the birds you shecht in order to show that this person spoke when he shouldn't have spoken. So what we do is we shecht him. We quieten down this bird who is talking too much. We quieten him down. And then we take the second bird and you keep him alive to show that you did not speak when you should have spoken. That's why we keep this tzipur alive. And then we send him out to Nayasud. Kenzan, this is the Indian, the thing that we do. We dip him into the blood. So why dipping him into blood? It's kind of pshat is. Because it's weiss to akal from the sam ed al dam re'echu. You could save someone's life, and you don't save someone's life, you're over the love of Lesam Adal Dam Re'echo. Here we have a person who he could have saved someone's life just by giving him a good word. And he did not do that. So what we do is we take two birds, two good friends, we shecht one of them, we dip the other one into the blood of the first one to say, you were over Lesam Adal Dam Re'echo. You could have saved this bird, and he did not save, you could have saved your friend, and he did not save him, you were over Lesam Adal Dam Re'echo. That's why you're getting punished. The Tamid Reb Akiva, they did not do anything wrong, but all they did is loy nuagi kuvat zebuze. They didn't shepherd them, didn't tease them, they didn't physically harm them. All they did is they ignored them. They came in the morning, they did not receive a happy good morning with a big smile on the face. They gave them the hagusha that they are not worth anything, that they're not worth anything. So basically, you think that you only I didn't do anything wrong. you did do. Because it took away the self-worth. It took away the feeling that they are worth something. If someone feels that he's not worth anything, his life is not worth anything. So in a certain extent, you took away their life. You took away their life, and Chalila Midah Keneged Midah, unfortunately their life was taken away. It was the infinite importance of giving a person the respect he needs. I will finish off with the following story. A story that happened with my uncle. I had an uncle in America called Lezer Geldseder. Lezer Geldseder, he was a Rosh Hashiva, and a Rosh Hashiva in America, and he had a big yeshiva, Chassidish yeshiva, and he was a tremendous person. He was a tremendous Rosh Hashiva, powerful person. Unfortunately, he was taken away. He was tragically killed in a car accident, in a bus accident in America, and that's his rule. He went there with his Talmidim, and on the way, they were going to go away for Shabbaton, and on the way, they had a crash, and unfortunately, he passed away. He was a tremendous person. There's so many stories about him. His Talmidim, I was there by his Levaya, the Talmidim, they were crying like you can't even begin to imagine. They all felt so close to him. And I once asked the Talmidim, what was it? How did he manage to make such a bond with his Talmidim? How did he manage to become so close to them? They said one thing. Each and every child felt that he was his closest Talmid. He used to give them compliments, he used to give them good words, and he used to encourage them to grow and to become better people. And they each felt so close to him just by the fact that he kept on complimenting them and kept on encouraging them. So the following story, his daughter, it was a short time after the accident, after he passed away, his daughter was driving in America, and she had on her car a picture of her father. She had a picture of her father. He was tall person, the big black beard, very hush of a person, and he had a picture on the window of the car. She was going to a service station, to a petrol station, to take petrol. Now, in America, very often they have that instead of the person coming out of the car to fill up the petrol himself, they have people who come and they do it for you. So they come to the thing and they fill it up for you and then you pay them. So they had this tiny little person. He was a midget, a little dwarf, tiny little person, and he was working at the service station. His job was to come and to fill in the petrol. So this midget comes along, his name is Vicky, and he's about to start filling up the petrol, and he notices the picture of this Reblazer Geldseid on the window. So he gets visibly excited and knocks on the window. She opens the window and he says, "Do you know this person?" So she said, "Of course I know him, he's my father." So he gets excited, says, I'm waiting, I haven't seen him in such a long time, I haven't seen him in the last year, I want to see him, where is he?" So she told him, unfortunately, that he never tragically was killed in a car accident and is no longer around anymore. She said what happened next is something she did not expect. This little midget put down the petrol thing, he sat down on the floor and started crying like a little baby. And she couldn't understand what was going on. So this midget came over and said, "I'll tell you what happened." He said, "As you see, I look very different to everyone else. I'm tiny, I'm small. And wherever I go, people, the best case scenario, they stare at me. And the worst case scenario, they make fun of me and they laugh at me. And as you can imagine, I'm not a very happy person." He said, "One day, I was working here in the service station and a car pulls up and your father comes out of the car. This huge, tall person, big black beard, comes out of the car. And he sees me and he looks at me for a second, for a minute, and then he calls me over. And he says, 'What's your name?' I said, 'My name is Vicky.' So he looks at me in my eye and he says, 'Vicky, I have to tell you something. You have to understand, you are an inspiration. You are a person who is handicapped. You could have so easily have become depressed and stayed home and not come out of bed and not come out to work. But you decided that you're not going to overcome your difficulties. You're going to overcome your handicaps. And you decided you're going to push yourself. You're going to come out to work every single day. Do you know what an inspiration you are, Vicky? You're such an inspiration. I have to tell you something. I'm on my way now. I've got a big yeshiva. I teach students. I've got over 200 students. I'm going to give a talk to them now. Do you know what I'm going to tell them? I'm going to tell them that everyone has to learn from Vicky. Everyone has to learn from Vicky that you shouldn't let your difficulties overcome you. You have to overcome your difficulties and you have to not let your handicap to keep you down. I'm going to tell all of them this thing." He said, "Vicky said, 'You know, that was the first day in my life that I felt so tall. Until then I felt so like a tiny little midget. I felt like a giant. He made me feel like a giant. And then he said, Vicky, you should know, from now on, I'm not going to go to any other service station. I'm only going to come here, and I don't want anyone else to help me put the petrol. Only you, Vicky. You are going to become my person who's going to put the petrol into me. And I kept, the thing that kept me going was, I constantly kept looking forward, when is he going to come again? And sure enough, he came again and again, and always made sure to call only me, and to give me the inspiration that I needed. He said, now I can understand why he was so upset when he passed away. The opportunities are all over the place. We could constantly give people the feeling, the self-respect that they need, that they have, and the opportunities wherever you go, whether you're in shul, whether you're at home, whether you're in work, there always are so many people who are desperate, who are there waiting for your good words, they're waiting for your smile. So the Eibishter takes care of that. We should take out this message, and we should really be mesaken the avayda from the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, and we should all be zeuche to really be honestly neue kovet zeh bozeh, and we'll be zeuche bekurev to the viasko of tzedek b'mehar Rabbi Amayni Umay. I'm going to say,